Blog Talk Radio. There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold.
You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen.
Who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his own.
This is the show where Christians share their walk from darkness down a sometimes long and lonely path to the light of healing and fulfillment through faith.
Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your way.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, and welcome to this 24th episode of Step Into the Light on this Tuesday morning, March 1st. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On this show, we talk about the shadows that creep across the paths of our lives at one time or another in the form of such difficult circumstances as abuse, divorce, addiction, fear, debt, heartbreak, guilt, loss of a loved one, rejection. Conversely, my guests shed light on those dark times with messages of hope, healing, success, perseverance, faith, and love. In case you're not able to listen to our entire segment this morning, we run for about an hour, I'd like to let listeners know where they can find the show again. I have a website, which is Patty Sheen, I'll spell that for you, PattiSheene.com. And on that website, you will find a link to this show right on the very front page. Also, there is a Blog Talk Radio tab. There's a Show of the Week page under there, and that will feature this show for this week. After that, there's an archive page where you can go to find this show or any other show that we have aired in the past. I also have a Step Into the Light Facebook page. Just type that into the search bar and you will find it. I would love to have you come over and like that page. Also would like to have you follow me on Twitter. My handle is, again, Patty Sheen, PattiSheene. I have a Pinterest account. I don't do a whole lot with it. The board that I actually keep most active is the Step Into the Light board, and that is where I pin a picture of my guest and any books that they may have, and so such. Well, this has been a rough couple of weeks for my family and I. My mom passed away on the 19th of February, and if any of you listened to last week's show, you will know that I did a pre-recorded or pre-broadcast, I should say, show last Tuesday morning. I just didn't feel I was in good space to do justice to my guest, so I went ahead and ran a pre-broadcast show, but I intend to be doing live shows from now on. Today is an important day in our country. Today is Super Tuesday. I have never participated in the caucus process before. That's probably something I shouldn't admit. I have no idea how it works. However, a friend and I do plan to go at 7 o'clock this evening in our town to the caucus for the party that I'm interested in, and I guess I'll find out a little bit about how the process works. So that's kind of exciting. I'd like to be more involved in the whole scenario this year, even though it's gotten pretty crazy, but still I'd like to become a little bit more aware. So I would urge all of you out there to do the same. If you don't go to the caucus, I would recommend that you go to the websites of the candidates you are interested in, find out where they stand on the issues, evaluate what issues are the most important to you, what you need to prioritize. And this is a very, very serious thing, folks. There are people all over the world who would give an awful lot to have the right to vote and to participate in the say of their government. And I know sometimes we feel like we don't have a lot of say, but hey, we do have that wonderful privilege of being able to be involved and being able to vote. So I would recommend that y'all do that. Well, it is time to introduce our guest. Lene Herdman is a wife, mother of seven, and foster parent who shares an amazing testimony to God's healing power in her life and her marriage of 23 years. Lene and her husband are credentialed and licensed with Open Ministry of L. Hoffmeyer, by L. Hoffmeyer Chaplain. Excuse my tongue twist there. They have served in a variety of church leadership positions throughout their ministry. Lene received her BA in Christian Fiction Counseling from Ohio Christian University. Her ebooks are available on Amazon, and she is currently working on her first novel. Lene has a heartrending story of entrapment in a world of darkness and deceit, yet she shares how the love of her devoted husband and her Heavenly Father brought her back to light. Have you found yourself in a relationship that is destructive, demeaning, and inappropriate? Have you followed someone you trusted only to learn you've been led into the deception of sin? If you've ever been in this situation or know someone who has, you'll want to stay with us at Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen right here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, Lene.
Hi, Patty. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. How's everything back there in Pennsylvania?
Good. It's sunny today. Spring
is
coming.
Yes. Well, we've had some unusually seasonable warm weather, which does not please me because I'm a winter person through and through, and I don't feel like we've seen near enough of it yet. Here it's already March. So.
Yeah. Well, it's an honor to be on your show today.
Well, it's an honor to have you. I'm so glad that you connected with me. Well, Lene, you and your husband, you've been married for close to a quarter of a century, and that's quite an accomplishment, and you have seven children, and I believe these are your own children. But in addition to that, you also have hosted foster children, and I'd be curious to know, with seven kids, that's quite a family already, so what influenced your decision to open your home to foster children?
Well, I will share with you, actually, the seven children that we have, our three youngest are adopted through foster care. And the two oldest ones that are out of the home and have families of their own, which is another generation, they're foster children. And then the other two in the middle are biological children.
Oh, okay.
So they're all adopted. We have been in foster care for over 20-some years. But when we adopted our last three little ones in 2011, I believe it was December 22nd, at that point we had stepped out of a foster parenting to just, you know, we have our hands full. And we do the best that we can. So that's where, you know, our house is full, and we had gotten into foster care. My husband and I both, before we were married, we knew of a person in ministry. His name was Doc Dawson through New Day Incorporated. During my internship, when I was in college, I worked under him, and him and his wife opened their home to foster care. And they had over 100 and some kids in their home over all the years that they did foster care. Well, probably many of us have had people in our lives that we look up to. And so we really looked up to him, and he had helped us a lot in our lives, and we wanted to pass that on. And so we both had the desire within inside of us to, when we got married, that we were going to open up our home and give what we could and help change lives. And that's where that seed came from.
No, I think that's pretty wonderful, Lene. And I have to you speaking reminds me of my favorite TV show of all time is Gunsmoke. And there was a show out there where there was a family that had a bunch of kids, and they adopted three more, these triplets that were left in town, abandoned by parents. Parents were killed and this type of thing. And I remember at the end of the show, one of the characters says, you know, they now they have 18 kids. And one of the characters said, well, you know, what would make a family want to have 18 kids? And one of the other characters responded and said, some people just have an amazing capacity for love. And it sounds like you and your family. I'd be curious to know, Lene, what is the age range for your children?
Well, this might get me in trouble with my oldest. she is. She's 35 right now, and then the other one is 25, and the one we have in college, she is 20, and then I have one in high school, she is 14, and then the three youngest are age 8. 7 and 5.
So there's quite an age range there. And
there
you don't have all of them in the home right now. I was just wondering.
Yeah. We have gone from talking ABCs to, you know, all that other
Oh,
stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my goodness, you've experienced a lot, I'm sure.
And it's not easy, you know. I mean, I do not claim to be a perfect parent, but we strive every day, like every parent, to be the best that we can be every day. And every day is a new day, and we find the grace and the mercies of God every day to begin that day anew, to do
sure.
even do better than the day before. So.
Did any of the children come from very difficult situations, such as maybe drug abuse, alcohol abuse? Abuse of them, anything like that, to where it was difficult for them to bond with you or not really?
Yeah, yes, they all did. So the two older and the three younger, yes, there are attachment and detachment issues there. And there were abuse. You know, even they weren't the only kids that we had, so I'm not going to talk about them specifically, just for confidentiality stuff reasons.
Sure.
But throughout all of the years, we've had kids in and out. And when you're in foster care, you do deal with those type of issues, such as neglect and physical and sexual abuse, emotional abuse, abandonment and attachment disorders and issues. And out of that, the behaviors that come and they manifest themselves in all kinds of ways, you know, through tantrums and fear they withdraw from you. Excessive crying, aggression, lying, stealing, bedwetting, eating disorders, you know, all of those type of things. And, you know, and even like destruction of your house, you know.
Yes.
So it's not easy. And a person really needs to know that that's what God wants them to do. If they truly feel led to open their home, it is a ministry. And
it absolutely
they really
is.
Need to know that that's what they're supposed to do, because it's only God that gives us the strength to do that. And there's times I really have to draw upon God's strength to say, okay, God, I need your help today.
Sure.
Yes.
I can somewhat identify with what you're talking about, Lene, because I was an RN for, I want to say almost 40 years, and the majority of my practice was in psychiatry, and I worked for a psychiatric residential child care facility out here in Colorado called Colorado Boys Ranch. So I can understand that destructive behavior and the acting out and the lack of trust. It takes forever to get these young people to trust you, and they've just had such horrific negative experiences all their life that to try to reprogram that is very, very difficult. And it takes a lot of patience, and it takes a lot of love, and it absolutely takes a lot of intervention from the Lord. That's for sure. So I want
to commend
the
young
you.
One.
Even for the little ones, yeah. Now, our youngest were, I think our youngest was 9 out there, and we had young people up to age 19. So, but even the real little ones, the real little ones would be heartbreaking to see them already so damaged and
right.
negatively influenced. It's got to be tough.
So, babies that are born, you know, drug addicted and all of
sure.
those things, even in the mother's womb. And those affect the children as they continue, you know, begin to grow. And those type of behaviors start coming out. And so it is a challenge.
Yes, it is. Well, we've talked quite a bit here about the drawbacks. If someone were to ask you, well, what is your greatest reward in doing this, what would you say?
I feel, obviously, you're giving a child a chance at a new life. You're opening your home. You're showing a child what it's like to be loved, but you're also, eventually, you do reap that reward of being loved back. And it is an opportunity to teach them the acceptable behaviors. It's tough, but that's rewarding when they can actually grasp a hold of that.
Yes.
We ourselves have to grow, and we grow mentally and spiritually as we care for these children. I think and this might bring tears to my eyes, but I think the biggest blessing that I have seen is how my own children have come alongside of us because we have kept them in the loop since day one. And, you know, they have shared their mom and dad. And I, you know, there's been times that, you know, just with the last three that we adopted, and there was a time that I thought, well, we may lose them because they might be reunited with their family. And I said to my two children, I said, well, if they go, I said, we're probably going to be done with foster care. I said, that would be great. I said, it would just be you two and us, and mommy will get a job. And you know, we've just been in it a long time, and I don't think I can handle it anymore. And my two girls, they just said, no. There's three other kids out there that we could help, Mom.
Oh, my
goodness.
We don't
want to get out. And they, you know, my girls, even though they have suffered some of the consequences, not of seeing the realities of the hard realities of life and what happens to people and children and the consequences of Satan being in this world, they have ministered alongside of us, and their hearts have been open. And so that has been a great, great blessing. And
do you realize what a testament that is to you and your husband's parenting skills, Lene? That's just wonderful.
That's encouragement for you to say that.
Well, my goodness. I was like, gee, you know, that you really have made an impression on those young people that they will carry with them for the rest of their lives.
We just do the best that we can and love within our own because, you know, all of us, we have baggage and we have brokenness. And I think one of the biggest things that my husband and I have done from the very beginning, that we have been real. If we've made a mistake, we have apologized to our children. And we have just been honest. Okay, what we said was hurtful. We still apologize. Mommy's just
mm-hmm.
having a bad day. It wasn't you. And so we've just always just been real and opened ourselves up to them. And we've walked quite a journey together.
Well, I would say you have.
Yeah, we still continue to walk this journey. Life is a journey, and we walk it together.
And it must be so rewarding to look at your adult children, who I assume are there and probably have jobs of their own and perhaps families, I don't know, but to know that you have been instrumental in putting some very productive people into society has got to be a wonderful reward. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Lene, because not everyone can do that. And we have so many children that are so in need of good parenting.
There are. And I would, you know, encourage those out there who have been thinking about foster care, or God has laid it upon their heart, to get a hold of an agency. I know we went through the Bear Foundation, and they are a very good agency. And so I just throw that out there. To not be afraid to go and check it out and talk about maybe your concerns or your fears. And just, you know, put your foot in the water and see if it's something that you feel at peace about.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lene, you have a lovely family, and however, the premise of this show is for guests to share dark times in their lives and how they found their way back to the light. The experience that you related to me is somewhat different from that of any of my other guests. So I am just going to let you share with us the main message. And I'm so glad you shared the message about foster children, but I know you have another message that has been laid on your heart that you so desperately want to share with us. So I will just let you go ahead and kind of start to tell us your story about what happened to you.
Okay. On August 28th of this year, my husband and I's world crashed. My world crashed. I found myself on the phone with a bottle of pills in my hand in shock, hysterical, not knowing what to do because I thought my life as I knew it was over. I had just lost everything. That's how I felt. And I'm not going to go into too much detail. Because I have more of a message than I do the story, because it's not the story that matters. It's the message.
It's the message. Agreed.
It's the message. And so several years ago, I had gone to my spiritual leader for counseling. I counseled with him for 2 years. I always had spiritual father figures all of my life. I felt God had just given me another one. Over all the years, none of the father figures ever put me in a position where I had to say no because of my weaknesses and not being healed in some areas in my own life and being in, and someone being an authority figure over me. This led through different stages. This led into a forbidden, destructive, sinful relationship. And with Satan's illusions that he can put in our lives, in the bondage of ungodly soul ties, when you're in that situation, it is nearly impossible. It's impossible to get out without an intervention of authentic men and women of God. And only after that, healing can only take place through the love and grace of God flowing through those people who love on you with an agape, unconditional love, which is the kind of love that God loves us with. And there came a point where I felt that my only freedom would come when he may pass away, because lines had already been crossed and I was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that sets people free. And God has made a way for us to have that freedom. And we know that in John 10:10, which that is a really important verse. And it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he wants to do in all of our lives, the enemy. He wants to destroy us. But God says, but no, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life.
Mm-hmm.
And my life is not rich and satisfying. And in the midst of those dark places that you find yourself trapped in, those places that you don't think anyone would ever understand that you would be so judged for, And the enemy has it in your, you know, has placed it in your mind that you're never going to get out of this, and your life would be ruined and destroyed. But God makes a way where there is no way, and there was an abuse of trust. It was a hard fall, and many people were devastated and hurt. I had made someone an idol, and they became my drug, and I did not line my life up with the Word of God. That's because of deception and deceit. When we give Satan just a little bit of room, he'll take the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that God has forgiven me. I have been set free, and I have fallen to freedom. And that's what my book is called. That's what I'm rewriting, Fallen to Freedom.
Yes, and we'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes, Lene.
Right.
We're going to go to a short break here. And
okay.
Hold that thought. We'll go to a short break. And for our listeners, our break is about 3.5 minutes. We'd love to have you listen to our ads. But if you have a need to get a cup of coffee or other things, feel free to do that. And we are listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen right here on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest today is Lene Herdman. She's a blogger, a speaker, an author, and she has quite a message to convey to our listeners. Come back to us in about 3.5 minutes. Are you fighting what seems to be a never-ending battle to take off excess pounds? Have you tried diet after diet, resolved to banish the sweets and starches from your life forever, and fervently prayed for willpower? Author Janet K. Brown let God do the fighting for her, and she won with a 95-pound weight loss that she has maintained for close to 20 years. Now, Janet shares the lessons she learned with her devotional entitled Divine Dining, 365 Devotions to Guide You to Healthier Weight and Abundant Wellness. Allow yourself to be guided through your weight journey with these practical and inspirational daily readings grounded in Scripture, illustrated with many of Janet's own experiences, and reinforced with a short prayer. This toolbox for overeaters combines a 12-step approach with a focus on the need for Christ as the center of your struggle. Janet's passion for diet, fitness, and God's Word holds the hope for you to achieve success as you strive to make choices that will lead to lasting lifestyle changes. Divine Dining, 365 Devotions to Guide You to Healthier Weight and Abundant Wellness by Janet K. Brown is available at Penn L Publishing, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon. Planning a trip to Colorado this year? 80 miles southeast of Pueblo on Highway 50, you'll find the town of Los Animas, where rich early 1900s American history is preserved within the walls of the John W. Rawlings Heritage Center and Museum. Since the opening of the new museum in May of 2012, the Pioneer Historical Society of Bent County is proud of the accomplishments of its all-volunteer team. Exhibits depict life on the plains in the early 1900s through the replication of home and business structures and possessions of such historical figures as John W. and Dorothy Hogue Rawlings, Kit Carson, Ambassador Thompson, and Ken Curtis, who played Festus Hagen on the long-running western Gunsmoke. Artifacts depict the life of the Native American, rancher, and farmer, and showcase tools of such professions as the cobbler, railroad worker, medical professional, and military. The Grand Hall on the second floor includes several quilt exhibits and an independent order of Oddfellows exhibit. The Old Trail Gallery features unique gifts made by local artists and historical publications of the Pioneer Historical Society of Bent County, such as the Bent County Chronicle. The John W. Rawlings Heritage Center and Museum holds a treasure trove of information for any history buff or historical author interested in events that unfolded in southeastern Colorado in the early 1900s. Located at 560 Bent Avenue in Los Animas, the museum is open Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4 p.m. Cost of admission is $5 for adults, $4 for children, 6 to 12, with free parking available on site. For further information, contact them at 719-456-6066. If you drop by, be sure to tell them Patty Sheen of Step Into the Light sent you. Would you like an ad for your business, new book, or other product broadcast on Step Into the Light? Contact Patty Sheen at patty.sheen@gmail.com. That's patty.sheen@gmail.com. Now it's time to return to our show. Welcome back to Step Into the Light right here on Blog Talk Radio with Patty Sheen. We are speaking today with Lene Herdman, and I would like to let listeners know where we can find Lene. She is an author, a blogger, a speaker. Her website is Lene, and I'll spell that for you, Herdman, LynneHerdman.com. She can also be found on Facebook under the same name. On Twitter, she's changed it up a little bit, and her last name is first, so it's at Herdman Lene. And since you probably won't remember anything I just said, I'm going to refer you to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattySheene.com. On that site, you will find a Blog Talk Radio tab, and underneath that tab is a website and social media page. I have all of my guests listed there and their websites, their social media outlets, and all that good stuff. So it's a reference point for listeners to go to so that you can look up our guests and get in touch with them, which we hope you will do. Oh, Lene, we were talking before we went to break about the situation you got into. It was basically you had gone to a trusted person, a pastoral person for counseling, for guidance, and unfortunately the line was crossed. It became an inappropriately intimate relationship, and you were telling us how that affected you, how that affected your entire life, and
right.
I will let you proceed from there, because I know you feel like, I know you do, you have a very important message to share, and your message is well planned out, so I will let you go ahead and take the lead from there.
Well,
especially the fact that your husband came beside you is just amazing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and we'll get to that later on. But my husband and I, through this, we do have a message for the overall church, and number one, we serve a comeback God. He's a God of a comeback. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 14:14 that he devises ways to bring us back. That means he plans and arranges. And so anytime that we have gone astray or and gone off the path, that he will, he wants us to come back to him. You know, the other thing, Satan is real. We're taught all our lives to, you know, beware of Satan and all of this kind of stuff and how real he is. And Satan is real. I mean, he will set you up. He will watch you fall. He will devour you. And then he'll bring people to applaud your destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And what's sad about that is a few of those people are Christians, and that's been very, very hard. Also, Satan is a liar, and he's a deceiver. And the other thing is, never allow anything, no one, to come before God in your life. And we need to stay focused. God has to be our number one in everything. And if we keep our eyes focused and set a slant to him and not look to the left, not look to the right, not make someone an idol, not look at that person, not look at somebody as idolizing them, because that's how I got into this position, because it was hard to say no, and he was a spiritual father figure and all of that. And so, you know, we have to watch our idols, whether it be a person or whether it be any other thing. God has to be number one. You know, the other thing is spiritual abuse, whether you know, and I say this because someone out there may know of somebody, they may have gone through it themselves, but spiritual abuse does exist. There is manipulation, there's control, and that's why it's so important for us to walk in the Spirit every day, and that's by getting in God's presence. I have to do that more. I have to be more discerning of and trying the spirits. God, is this of you? Is this person, you know? And we can do that by lining our lives up with the Word of God, and then there'll be no question. And we have to know that we never can question the Word of God, ever. And I don't care who's telling you that. Like, it can be the best person. Everyone else can believe this person all over the world, but if you yourself know that it says in the Word of God something, you don't have to go with the crowd, you know? And so just to walk in the Spirit, to receive the love of God, to know God's love, to know the grace of God. And this is a radio talk show, and so, you know, we can't go into a huge, big message, but if someone feels lost and hopeless, abandoned, condemned, or trapped with no way out, and they just say there's no way out, this is a lie straight from the pit of hell. And,
yes,
you know, we as Christians, we're adopted into the family of God. And I realize now I don't need a father figure. I am God's daughter. God's daughter. And the gospel is not an ultimatum. It's an invitation to a celebration. And we are in God's kingdom, and we're one big, great family. And it only matters what God thinks. And when we go astray, we have to return to our first love, and we can take our position back. And through repentance, through redemption, and through the love and grace of God. And so as Christians, I guess one of the biggest desires, that, and I didn't have this down, but, you know, one of the biggest things that God has shown my husband and I is, and what we want to do, is we want to say, who are the broken? Who are the people who have fallen? Because we want to go find them. Because tell me how many people from the churches that fall, that are broken, that leave, where are the people, where are the church people that come, that go looking for them? Who runs after the broken people? Who helps
restore
them?
Oh, wow, that is such a wonderful point. That is such a wonderful point,
People
Lene,
don't want to be seen with those people.
Yeah, I have friends that are in that very situation. This is just, man, it's just really hitting home.
Yeah, people usually, they don't want to be seen. Oh, that's that person. Oh, that's that person. I used to worry about what one person thought of me. But after this all happened, it was really hard to get in the community. And, like, okay, so how do I change a whole town? You can't change a whole town. So I just had to give it all over to God.
Yeah,
and
well,
God,
I need to clarify,
matter.
It's not the same situation, but I know what you're talking about with people that tend to condemn. It's an entirely different situation, but I know exactly what you mean.
And when people don't know the facts, you know, but we move on. See, so our goal is we don't want to look back. We want to move forward, and we're moving forward, and the enemy is under our feet. And so God is rising. We're rising because of God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's strength, God's healing. It's all about Him, and we are decreased. And so when our lives are shattered, our lives are broken, wow, God's going to restore those broken pieces if we allow Him. And so that's when I just thought I can't do it anymore. My life is done. It's over. But it's not. It's just beginning. It's just beginning. It's a whole new season. I'm just finding out and learning who I really am in Christ.
I would think, Lene, that during this whole process of this relationship, you were probably led to believe that this was right, that you were deceived into believing that it was right, that because of the nature of the person that you were involved with, that you thought, well, he says so, it's got to be right. And this is where you talk about how we have to keep our eyes focused on God and on Jesus. Because, and a friend and I have talked about this, even pastors are tempted into sin. And we tend to sometimes put them on a pedestal and believe that they can do no wrong, but that's not true at all.
Well, one thing I do, you know, want to clarify is that I have learned in this process is I need to keep my eyes on myself, okay? And like, you know, whatever their side is, that has to be between them and God. For my own healing, I've had to take responsibility for my part in it. I've had to say, okay, God, how did I get here? How did I get here? Even though, because if there's anybody or anything that deceived me, it was the puzzle pieces also in my own life, the dysfunctional pieces in my own thinking, the things that were not healed, and it was the enemy who can really put us to play on all of those things. It can play on somebody leading us. Now, yes, he has a great, or any leader, male or female, has a great responsibility, because any leader has a choice. They have a choice whether to cross the line or not. Being that I was counseling in the beginning and he was the leader, again, that's between him and God. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I had become a leader. It was a permit. I was working toward my ordination. But again, that's in the past. The thing is, Satan is a liar. Satan is a deceiver. Satan is the one who we just got to keep our eyes focused on God, because the enemy can find those little places to get in into our own weaknesses that we have in our lives. And so I am saying, God, and through examination of myself, what is it within me? What is it within me that I couldn't turn around and walk away? And what was broken? And so that's just where that is. And we've had many people to come around my husband and I in support with grace and pouring mercy upon me and my husband and my family and my children. My younger children, obviously, they don't comprehend, but my oldest children, again, they've been around reality. You know, there's things happening with my 14-year-old, but they've been around reality, and they're like, Mom, we love you. We forgive you. We understand. There's just their love and their grace and all of that. So, I know that we had talked before about, is there any inspirational quotes and Bible verses that has sustained me through this dark time and coming out of it, what has helped me? And one of the verses, John 8:32, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Yes.
And so knowing the truth, God is the truth, the word is the truth. And the biggest quote that was quoted to me is, "The toughest times in your life does not define who you are. It is not your identity." So what happened to me and what happened to other people, it's not who I am. It's not my identity. It's not my mark. My mark is I'm a child of God. My mark is my sins have been washed away by his blood. And, you know, oftentimes people cannot receive that redemption because of their perception of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants to bless on his people. And this is another thing. He's not angry. He's not even having a bad day. So God wants to bless on his people.
Yes, he does.
And then a quote by Bill Vanderbush, it says, "You are the most literal sense, a manifestation of God's imagination. You are a daydream of love himself." God's love is so awesome. It's so big. It's so amazing. And religion says that God will love us if we change. The gospel says God's love changes us. And a quote by Philip Arnold says, "You will never be free until you free yourself from the prison of your own false thoughts."
Oh, I really like that. That says a lot.
So it's when we make wrong choices or things happen, you know, we have to take responsibility. He has to take responsibility. Everyone, you know, when I die and go to heaven, I die, I stand before God the Father. It's just me. I'm the only one who's standing before
mm-hmm.
God the Father.
I love the fact, Lene, that you have the spiritual maturity to stand up and say, "I made this choice." And so many people put themselves in the position of, "I was the victim. There was nothing I could do." And I just love your strength in that.
It's like I couldn't say no because of my dysfunction, but I could say no.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't
mm-hmm.
say no, but I could say no. You know, so it's like, you know, that's what I have to take before God. Those
sure.
are the pieces, that the broken pieces that I take before God. And so whether our sins of omission, commission, I haven't studied that in a long time. We
yeah.
just take everything before God because he loves us and he's our dad. And his love is an unconditional love. It's an agape love. And my husband is an amazing man.
It sounds like you are very, very blessed to have had his support and the support of the rest of your family and friends as well, Lene. And I'm so glad that you had those resources and that kind of support. Our time is winding. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. We had talked, you know, you had talked to me about my husband. And, you know, Frank is a special man and a special husband and a father. And he, during his difficult time, he did wrap his arms around me. He broke with me. He fell with me. And now he rises with me.
Yes.
And he places the Lord above, you know, above all those things that cause division in our marriage. And he immediately recognized that love and forgiveness were the first line of defense. Otherwise, things could have gone from bad to worse. He's been supportive mostly with patient prayer and more personal communication. We are both growing stronger from this. building up each other's weaknesses, and God is blessing with supportive friends and professionals. And mm-hmm. it's just been amazing. So.
And that leads right into, Lene, something I do not want us to miss before the show, is the subject of the books that you have on Amazon. So would you tell us a little bit about them?
I'm rewriting Fall Into Freedom. It was written 5 weeks after. So basically it was sitting down and going, how did I get here? And I'm writing it as a broken woman and just trying to help me to understand. And so that's where I'm coming from in writing that book. And then the other book was when Christians Condemn and Crucify, and A Stepping Stone to Climb Higher. So, that just also talks about when we do have troubles in the family of God, how can we can just take any problem we have in life and put it under our feet, and we can step on it to draw us closer to God and not let it be a stumbling block for
mm-hmm.
us. And so we can use any situation. The third book that I had wrote was My Husband, I Was Blind, But Now I See, Your Love and Grace That Changed Me. And again, he loved me through one of the hardest times in our lives, in my
sure.
life, and getting the victory. The victory overcomes the darkness. And God gives us that victory. And the last book was talking about Entangled in a Forbidden Anguish. And basically, that is just helping people, warning them. Chapter number one, if you're even contemplating getting into relationships of this type, this is why not. Don't do it. Chapter two, okay, you've crossed the line. I know where you are. This is how you're feeling. You are like, oh, my gosh, now what do I do? You're
mm-hmm.
in dark places. You're crying every night. You're broken. You are like, you don't understand. You know, and then it goes on from there, how God can restore and how you can get out of that situation. So those are four of my books that I have on Amazon.
Yes. Yeah, I knew you had three or four of them at least.
Yeah.
Lene, I wanted to kind of pitch your blog to listeners because I've been on there and you have some very important subjects and you deal with them well. And one I wanted to touch on relates to the fact that controlling situations can occur anywhere. They can be found in our family, our work, our church. A lot of times we just automatically think domestic violence between spouses or couples, and it's not always found there. Would you share with us some of the red flags that warn a person that they may be falling into a controlling relationship, no matter what sphere of their life it is in?
Well, many times we don't see the red flags because of our weaknesses. It blinds us in those areas. And we are doing things we ought not to because we are often led astray by our own blind spots in life. My story is unique in that I was seeking counseling to help correct some internal conflict that I was having within myself. And I sought that help through a pastoral leadership of my church. And in order to see red flags, one has to be aware of something not quite right about their environment. And I saw only a green light to share personal struggles with my counselor, my pastor. However, looking back, where at the problem, I can see one big red flag was that I lost myself. I lost
mm-hmm.
my independence. And I was sucked into this controlling, dependent relationship that even my own husband didn't place on me. If you find yourself not sleeping at night, angry, confused, and feeling led on by, like, unrealized promises, those are big red flags that should cause someone to seek alternative help. Another is this. If you find yourself in a relationship but your internal nature feels even more weighted down, feeling even more burdened, then that is also a huge red flag. God certainly created us to be social creatures, but only as people who do his will on earth. And we're to love one another, lifting each other up, and forgiving one another, moving past our own judgments, and leaning on God's ways and not our own.
Thank you for that. One other thing I wanted to talk with you about before the show winds down, Lene, is the purpose and mission of SNAP. I had never heard of it, and probably our listeners haven't either.
Okay. On my website, there is a category just for Dr. Cameron Alderis and her husband, Jeff. Actually, I've had the awesome privilege and opportunity to Skype with them, actually, like, for 2.5 hours all together now. But she has a speech on there. But SNAP is stands for the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. That's how it started. And it's a self-help group that supports people who have been victimized by clergy and helps them try to pick up the pieces of their lives,
mm-hmm.
heal, and move forward. So, and they also cooperate in that news media provides reliable information when they can as a way to help themselves recover and prevent future abuse. So, but it's not, we know that it's not just priests. We know that in every denomination, we know that, like, I know Dr. Cameron represents the Anabaptist, so that's anything other, I think, than, you know, the Catholic Church. So they hold conferences, and all these people, they get together, and, you know, they're well-educated. They all support one another. You know, silence makes evil possible. And so we have a voice, and those of us who can speak out, and that's why I'm doing a radio talk show.
Yes.
That's why I want to travel and I want to share, because there are people who cannot, they cannot talk. They're stuck in depression. They are stuck in the darkness. And I'm not saying every day is a good day for me. I have good days. I have bad days. I have real bright days, and I have dark days. And in those dark days, you know, that's when we seek God even more. And, but, you know, and we can help protect the vulnerable, and by exposing the truth and help healing the wounded. And so on the SNAP website, it shows ways that you can help. And, you know, and then it shows, you know, how SNAP makes a difference in people's lives.
So let me interject here. I will add that SNAP website. I'll get the URL from you, and I will add that SNAP website to the website and social media page on my website. So,
okay.
So folks can refer to that. Yeah, definitely. Well, Lene, do you have any last thoughts? We're about to wind down here with our time.
And
you have shared so much. Oh, my goodness. I want to thank you.
I just think it's been a privilege getting to know you and talking with you, and an honor to be able to be on your show today.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show, Lene, and you have shared so much of your heart and your brokenness and your healing, and it's my prayer that as we prayed before the show started, that the people that need to hear this will be drawn to the episode and listen and go to your website maybe get to know you and learn, because you have an awful lot to offer. And I want to thank you again so much. So God bless you, and we will be in
touch.
Thank
you. All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Listeners, hope to see you back next week. We will be broadcasting again on Tuesday morning, March 8th at 8 a.m. That's Mountain Standard Time. I know we're going to be moving to Mountain Daylight Time again here pretty quick, but I don't think it's next week yet. So I'm going to say Mountain Standard Time. I want to remind listeners to go to Lynae's website. It is Lynae, L-Y-N-N-A-E, Herdman, H-E-R-D-M-A-N, all one word, .com. And go to her Facebook page, follow her on Twitter. If you can't remember all that, try to remember my website, which is Patty Sheehan, P-A-T-T-I-S-H-E-N-E, and you will find that information under the website and social media page under Blog Talk Radio tab. I would like to remind listeners that when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. God bless you all. Hope to have you back with us next week.